Game on.
Hurley.
Now, you're very welcome back to Game On. Shane McGrath is on the line. Shane McGrath, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Shane. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Very much looking forward to this weekend of hurling. So, lots to get through. Let's just dive straight into it. Team news. Galway Limerick is tomorrow. Clare Kilkenny is on Sunday. And Limerick have named All-Star forward Garoge Hegarty at wing-back against Galway tomorrow. This, of course, is due to the absence of usual centre-back and captain Declan Hannan. Kyle Hayes moves from left wing-back to the centre, where Hegarty, with Hegarty taking the number 7 shirt. Keen Lynch replaces Hegarty in the half-forward line, while the only other change is Peter Casey at left corner forward in place of Graham Mulcahy. Galway, who named their team last night, are unchanged from their last outing. So let us just... the Limerick half-back line, I suppose, discuss this monstrous beast of a unit that they have now. What is this shake-up going to do to John Kiely's Limerick?
Oh, like, I think what's it going to do to the Galway half-forward line, I think, is the thing, Shane. Like, there's three men there now, and, you know, the three of them, their athletic ability, their size, their strength, and obviously, you know, let's not forget, they're class hurlers as well, but I mean... you're looking at those three guys, and before a ball is even poked in, like, or even thrown in, it's daunting looking at those three guys. We're looking at Twitter today. Is it the biggest half back line in the history of hurling? Maybe they're all about 6'4", 3", 6'4", 6'5". So, but look, I think, are they like whether or not they go like that? I don't know. I think a lot of people, maybe who are, you know, kind of are in and out of the hurling. And they look at Garrod Hegarty and they look at him as like being hurler of the year up in the forward. Just to let people know, Shane, I suppose, that he has played there before. He's played there for Limerick under 21s. He's played there at colleges hurling in Fitzgibbon level with UL. And for people who might know, he does the majority of his hurling at centre back for his club. So he's not, you know, this isn't new to him if he is playing wing back. Why are Limerick doing it? Maybe they just want that physical kind of. You know, like Trump wanted to build a wall, and maybe that's what John Kiely wants to do as well. He wants to build a wall, like, and why does he want to build a wall? I suppose he wants to stop the quality ball going into Conor Whelan, who is, it's like, you know, Shane, he's the in-form forward in the country at the moment, like two games, two men of the matches. So that's my thinking on it. Like, are they just trying to stop it there as much as they can? And like, again, you have three guys who are comfortable on the ball, good strikers. Like, they could get a quality ball inside, but the Garrod Hegarty one is a bit left field. The Keen Lynch one for me as well, I suppose, is that he has been carrying a knock. He must be absolutely flying it in training the last few weeks, because, you know, you couldn't just put him in there and hope he's going to do it. So obviously he has shown great form. Crow Park is made for Keen Lynch, and you know, I think if he does start there will be a big game in him. He'll want, you know, he'll be the captain on the field, and he'll want to put in the big performance. But look, there's lots of matchups there, potential things. I think if I'm Henry Shefflin this week now, you know, you're obviously saying, right, we were devastated to lose Leinster final. We hurled fairly well against Tip. I mean, they should have had the game. You know, they were a much better team than the score suggested, Shane. But what's the one thing Henry Shefflin will be doing, or could be doing, or should be doing? I think he just has to keep showing the hurt of the players on the pitch after semi-final last year against Limerick, and go, look, do you want to go back there again? Do you want to feel that again? And like in every sport, Shane, I suppose, like, hurt is a motivator. Like, and I think that will be big in the Galway dressing room this week anyway.
It will be interesting, I suppose. You mentioned the word if Dermot Burns, Kyle Hayes and Garrod Hegarty line out at 5, 6 and 7. But with Declan Hannan missing, with Sean Finn missing, like, we know Galway can match Limerick for the physicality, and that has always been the narrative of, oh, if you can match Limerick for the physicality, then it's game on. But they need that bit extra. They need to get at them. They need these small margins, the focus, and to just try and out-hurl them in moments of the match in order to get a result, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, and like, say, if you look back at the semi-final last year, 27 points, 121, Galway had chances to win that game. It was nip and tuck. I think for me, if they do want to win, and I know, you know, don't want to focus too much on one guy. I mean, like Aaron Gillan last year, what he did in that first half alone, he scored 5 points from play. He finished up the game with 8 points altogether. Like, they're going to have to try and curb him. Who's going to do that? Like, Tarik Mannion could go back and do it like he tried to do against Don Cody in Leinster final, but I think his influence in the half-back line is massive. So, who is it going to be? Morrissey, Grealish, is it going to be one of these guys that's going to be tasked with picking up Gillan? But if they can curb him and the influence he has, I mean, he's a big day player. He loves Croke Park. That will go a long way to do it. But as you're saying, it's like, no, they have to match him. Like, you know, they do have to match him around the field. Like Cathal Mannion, the amount of ball he got on the last day. Will Limerick allow that? They might. Maybe that's why you see David Reedy at wing forward. Is he going to play a bit further up if Mannion's dropping deeper and kind of sit on him and try and curb his influence on the game? So they will. Like, you know, Galway have loads. They have a serious team. Serious team on paper. But as someone said before, being good on paper and being good on grass are two different things. So I just think, I really think that it is, for this Galway group, Shane, I think this is it now for them. Like, just, there can't be any more, oh, we nearly did it and we nearly got over the line. I mean, they nearly won the Leinster final, but at the end of the day, you know, Owen Cody lifted the cup. They nearly beat Limerick last year, but at the end of the day, they were knocked out of the All-Ireland semi-final and they lost the game by 3 points. And I just would remind people as well that, you know, Sean Finn and Declan Hannon are missing for Limerick. You know, if it was any other team, you'd find it very hard to replace those guys. They have replaced them. But I suppose even this time last year, Shane, there was no Keen Lynch to deal with. There was no Peter Casey to deal with. So these are things as well that I suppose we have to take into consideration from the game last year as well. There's changes on both sides. You know, younger guys coming in for Galway, but Limerick have Keen Lynch back, and I think that's massive as well. And it's just, they don't seem to be fazed by the guys that are missing either. And look, as I said earlier in the year, I kind of doubted them against Cork. I thought maybe that was the day they were going to fall or they were going to fold. I thought they might have been tired, but look, they've shown again and again, Shane, haven't they, like, that they are a serious group, and I do think that they will do it again on tomorrow evening. Like,
one thing that I don't think we've seen from Galway in this championship anyway is ruthlessness. I think Donal O'Cusack mentioned that this morning on Morning Ireland as well. Like, will we see it? Will Galway, do they have the mental capacity as well to step up to the plate on this big occasion, considering the defeats that they've had to handle with throughout the year, but to have that rootless bite, really?
Yeah, and look, Croke Park isn't a happy hunting ground for them, Shane. I'm not sure of the facts, but like, since they won Gal Ireland in 2017 in Croke Park, I don't know how many games they've actually won in Croke Park since then. Championship games, and it's not a lot. Like, it, you know, it might be one. Do you know what I mean? And like, that has to be a factor as well. Like, in them, that they need to get a performance when it matters most. Knock out Hurling in Croke Park, and I'm sure all these things will be discussed. Do they have the ruthlessness? I suppose we haven't seen it yet, to be totally honest. You know, 8 points up in the Leinster final, lose the game. The last day against Tip again, I said it during the week, like, they were dominant everywhere in that game. They took 16 shots in the last quarter of the game. They only scored 5. Like, you're talking about that ruthlessness that we've seen with great teams down through the years. They need to, if they take 16 shots tomorrow and only score 5 against Limerick in the last quarter, they won't be winning the game. But I mean, if they can get that up to 8 or 9, well, then, you know, we know the hurlers they have, know the potential they have. But look, I think you'll know more tomorrow evening at maybe 9 o'clock as to how mentally strong and mentally prepared they are, and what their motivation is going to be. Like, is it going to be, do they feel they have to prove to everyone else? Because if that's the case, they're probably better before they start. I think they'll be going into the same. They need to prove to themselves, as a group, that they are a really good hurling group. And I think if it doesn't happen tomorrow for them, Shane, you could see big changes in Galway hurling. Like,
that's a long way back for Henry Shefflin and Galway then, if they are to be defeated. So which way are you going? Will Galway have that rootlessness, or will Limerick's grit and determination and experience shine through?
Yeah, look, I doubted Limerick for the Cork game, and I said I'm never going to doubt him again, and I'm going to stick with that. I think, albeit that, look, you know, it's the same maybe 17, 18 guys that John Kiely does go with. They're his tried and trusted guys. Like, if you take, for example, Sean Finn and Declan Hannon started against Waterford in the first round, they're out. The guys replacing them are David Reedy and Mike Casey. Like, we've seen these guys time and time again. Cathal O'Neill is down on the bench to come in. I think he trusts these guys. He trusts these 17, 18 guys to get the job done. And I really think that they will get it done again, and that they will get the victory tomorrow. Like,
Okay, Galway, Limerick, live on RT2 Television, Radio 1 Saturday Sport, and updates on the RT Sport website. Moving on to Sunday then, John Conlon has recovered from a head injury to take his place in the Clare starting 15. David McInerney returns to take his place alongside Conlon in the half-back line. Clare also welcome back Conor Cleary at full-back. Kilkenny, meanwhile, have Adrian Mullen and Mossy Keown fit to start the game. Richie Reid comes in for Darragh Corcoran in the half-back line. So, lots of narrative, lots of matchups in this one. Shane McGrath, what I suppose stands out most, the Mikey Butler v Tony Kelly perhaps?
Yeah, I tell you, actually the player has been named to start, Shane, is one of the biggest things for me. I think obviously the Mikey Butler v Mark and Tony Kelly, if that does come about, I couldn't see it, maybe not, maybe Derek Ling wants to throw a different twist on it, you know, that Brian Cody did last year. But I mean, we see Mikey Butler, Shane, he's very comfortable on the ball no matter what area of the pitch. I mean, the guy is playing cornerback, he scored a goal like in Championship hurling. I mean, that'd be crazy stuff to think even 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. I mean, do you imagine like a cornerback coming up the field as soon as he got to the 45-65, he'd just be told unanimously by everyone on the sideline, just get back, like. Whereas now he's so comfortable on the ball that no matter where Tony Kelly goes, Mikey Butler will be fine to do it. He held him scoreless from play last year in the semi final. Now, Tony Kelly scored 4 points, but he didn't score from play. So that will be one thing. But I think the guy's been named to start. I mean, do take Clare, for example, now, right? Conor Cleary and John Conlon. Like, if I said to you the Clare team in the 90s were going to be without Brian Lowen and Shawnee McMahon, like, a lot of Clare people would say, God, like, what hope have we? You know, with our two linchpins at the backs. And I think that's... Conor Cleary and John Conlon are that for this Clare group. Like, they're colossus, they're leaders, they're physical men, they're hurling well. So for them to be named to start, whether they do or not, is a massive, massive boost. The other thing then on the flip side for the Kilkenny is, like, for Adrian Mullen to be named to start, coming back from that thumb injury. So he's starting now instead of Keane Kenny. Like, I mean, what's Adrian Mullen's importance to it? I mean, if you go back to this fixture again last year, Adrian Mullen scored 5 points from play. Like, he's a physical guy, he knows where the posts are. And when he's on the field then, you know, his Ballyhale clubmates seem to just tick as well. Like, I mean, he scored 5 points from play. TJ got 10 points last year, 3 from play. Owen Cody got 3 points. They won the match by 12 points, and those 3 Ballyhale lads scored 11 points from play on their own. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you have these guys you know so well, Shane, on the field, how well Mullen knows Cody's style of play, Cody and TJ, TJ and Mullen, like how well they know each other, and Richie Reid in the half back line. You know what I mean? Like, these guys just know each other inside out, and I think that's a massive, massive thing to have. So I think while the matchup, the standout one probably will be Tony Kelly and Mikey Butler, and that's what everyone will be looking at. And I'm on duty Sunday, and that's what I'll be looking at to that side of the field. I think these guys being named to start is they're massive, massive things as well. And Mossy Keown as well. You know, he's fit to start. He had to go off in the Leinster final, was replaced by Wally Walsh, who had a great game, but having him in as well, he's a massive, massive player for Kilkenny. So I think we went from Shane earlier on in the week to we thought it was going to be a raft of changes or, you know, guys coming in. Whereas now I think Clare are as strong as they possibly can be. And I also think Kilkenny are as strong as they possibly can be. So, you know, it does set it up for a great game in that regard anyway.
Absolutely. We mentioned on Galway the wastefulness. Is it somewhat similar with their neighbours, Clare? Like, I mean, even against Dublin at one stage, I know they battered the Dubs, but they'd have run a 7 misses in a row. They'd be Munster champions now, like, with a little more accuracy. So
yeah.
Do they have a bit of a, not a point to prove that they've gotten to this stage, but they'll need to be a bit more clinical?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was 18 wides in the Munster final. I think it was 16 wides the last day against Dublin, although they won it at their ease. Like, they'll definitely have to be more clinical. Talk about Galway earlier on, they will absolutely have to take every chance that they get. Like, I mean, Kilkenny won this fixture by 12 points last year. I mean, I can't see it. There's no way it's going to be that gap again by whatever team wins it. It'll be much, much closer. But again, a major factor in that was John Conlon not starting. But look, if I'm looking at the Clare forward line now, like, I mean, Peter Duggan, Tony Kelly, Ryan Taylor, Ian Galvin, Shane O'Donnell, Mark Rogers. Mark Rogers in great form, 1-6 from play the last day. Is he a clinical guy? Absolutely he is. Shane O'Donnell, 4 points from play last year against Kilkenny in the semi-final. You know, he loves Croke Park. Tony Kelly, I think this guy is key. Like, I think TK's performance is going to be key for Clare to get the victory. And I think, like, it wasn't his fault that Clare lost the semi-final last year, but I think personally he would have looked at it and said, I didn't perform, I didn't get to the levels that I've set for myself, the ridiculously high standards he has set for himself. And in my opinion, you know, he's Clare's greatest ever hurler. Like, I think he'll have a personal point to prove as well that last year wasn't anywhere near a fair reflection of the player he can be. So he's going to be more clinical, you know. And then if it's not happening for them, I think what they have in the locker then to bring on Shane is what they didn't have last year. If you take, like, if David Reedy to come on, they have, you know, Shane Amore can come on, even Cian Galvin could come on, Aaron Shanner could come on. Like, they have a serious bench of guys there, Shane Meehan. These guys could come on and finish the job, whereas maybe they didn't have that in reserve last year. It's what they have this year. And that's why I think with the team they've named, with the guys that are fit to play, with who can come on and finish the job, I think Clare are in a much better place this year in comparison to last year. And that's why I do think Clare will win. Like, you know, you don't doubt, I didn't want to doubt Limerick and you don't doubt Kilkenny, you know. But I do feel Clare are in a really, really good place going into this game, with all those players that they have available. Like,
well, I am biased with Kilkenny family, and I would love to see Kilkenny in an All-Ireland final, but I suppose from a neutral perspective, to see a trilogy of games for Clare and Limerick this year would be something else. So regardless of who prevails, it's going to be two cracking matches this weekend. Sunday as well, Clare Kilkenny. Shane, you're on commentary duty on Sunday Sport, RT Radio 1 with Pádraic Lodge. It's on RT 2 television and updates on the RT Sport website. Shane McGrath, thank you very much. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be a belter, no doubt. Jane Mangan still to come. Alan Colley is waiting patiently. We're going to be chatting soccer after this.
RTE 2FM.
Game on.
Football.
Now, you are very welcome back to Game On. Shane Dawson here. Alan Colley is in studio as we chat football. Alan, we mentioned at the top of the show, Ireland had their send-off match in Tallaght Stadium last night. We heard from Katie McCabe in Dublin Airport today, who is okay, recovered, and she'll be fine for the World Cup. And she suffered a bit of a knock. A few players came off, but they were nothing serious, thankfully. So they came through it, really. Vera Pau mentioned that the behind-closed-doors friendly before the World Cup will be two sets of 11, just kind of getting game time in the legs before the match. So, but this was the big one. This was the one that mattered in terms of formation, in terms of tactics. You've already mentioned concerns with Heather Payne and a good performance from Kira Caruso, who was player of the match. Overall, the shape the manner in how Ireland play, is Vera Pau getting the best out of the players in its current form and in its current guise?
Yeah, I think so, because we've qualified, Shane. So to be fair to her, we have to be fair on that front. And they did really well throughout the campaign. I think her setup, it's not exactly the most expansive, and we've known that for quite some time. It's built from a defensive kind of shape and defensive foundation and built from there, which is fine. You have to be good defensively, especially if you want to qualify for tournaments. But the worry I would have is in terms of who's going to be the creator, or are we going to score enough goals maybe to get us through the group, because that's obviously the main objective and we're coming up against some serious sides. So that would be a concern. Obviously, you're playing France last night, who were one of the favourites for the World Cup. Fantastic team with fantastic players. So that was always going to be a difficult task. Yet we only, I think there was one shot on target, and that was the one that was disallowed. So yeah. So that's...
Which would have been overturned in the World Cup at VAR.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was one bit of positivity.
It was a poor call, all right, on the night. But in the second half, we couldn't get out of our half. And obviously, there was a big, strong breeze. It was really kind of... and we all know what Tal is like when the conditions are like that. You know, it's real blustery and windy, and it was. And France had the wind in the second half, and we were penned in for large periods and large spells. I thought the first half we did okay. What would worry me about the team and the shape, the three at the back is fine, okay? Katie McCabe is probably our best player, our most creative player, along with Denise O'Sullivan. Denise played as one of the deep lying midfielders last night, so she normally plays when we have Megan Connolly and Ruisha Littlejohn as the two who sit in front of the back three. She is in the more advanced position, and she's the one that can get on the ball and create chances and open gaps, like we saw with the goal over in Hampden Park. She was the one that played the pass through to Amber Barrett, because she has that quality. The same with Katie. We see her even some of the goals she scored for Arsenal throughout the season. She's a brilliant left foot, but if she's going to play as a left wing back, And we've seen this earlier in the campaign until Megan Campbell came into the team. Obviously, Megan is injured at the moment. I don't think that's Katie's best position to get the best out of her for what we want for the team. She should be far more advanced in a progressive position where she can cause problems and use all the qualities that she have. So that would be a worry for me. And Vera's already said she's going to play left wing back. So I think that's set in stone. Izzy Atkinson came on last night. She's very inexperienced. She only made the squad on the last day, if you like. And we saw the trouble they had in trying to defend first goal, because she was caught out, Izzy Atkinson. And if you flip that over, Shane, when they played the pass across the goal, Heather Payne, who's the other girl who I have the concern about at wing back, not Heather as a player but in that position, look how she struggled to try and clear the ball because she's not used to being in that position. So that led to the first goal. Also, if I mentioned earlier on about Niamh being the right-sided centre-half and need ample amount of experience and being a stalwart really for the national team, but her relationship with Heather in that kind of right centre-half position and right wing-back position, you look at the second goal where they get caught up by Samir, because Niamh has a look to her right shoulder and within a split second Samir's gone in the inside of her and bang, it's in the back of the net. And that's what happens when you're playing against the best teams and the best opposition. You're going to get punished. And the worry for me going into the tournament would be, How are we going to get goals in terms of trying to progress us through the group? And there would be the couple of defensive issues I would have. If you're playing the better teams, that three all of a sudden becomes a five, and you're playing Katie McCabe then as a left full, and Heather Payne, who we've seen throughout the whole campaign as the main centre forward, if you like, does unbelievable amounts of work and running and really kind of sacrifices herself for the team. She's playing out right wing back, and I don't think she's comfortable at right wing back. But they're just my concerns.
Just the final one on this as well. Given the quality of the opposition, like Australia, Canada and Nigeria are three very, very good football teams in this World Cup, in Ireland's group. It's a very difficult group. Do we not need to be defensive, and then perhaps it's a counter-attack or it's a set piece or something, and you know, catching the other team out? And like, we don't expect Ireland to dominate 2-3.
No, that's fair. Yeah, and that's probably the way it will pan out, Shane. Yeah, and we are defensive anyway, because that's Vera's approach, and I've no problem with that. If when the ball flips over and you win it, that you have, obviously you flick into the plan B, if you like, and what are we going to do when we have the ball? And that's why I'd prefer to see Denise a little bit higher up the pitch, because Denise is technically our best player and you want her on the ball as much as possible. If she's picking the ball up in a deep lying midfield position, which she's more than comfortable and she'll get on it and she'll carry the ball in, but she won't be able to play those killer passes, if you like, when she's maybe 20 yards further up the pitch. And if you've Megan Connolly and Ruisha Littlejohn, they're fully capable of playing the passes into Denise 20 yards up the pitch, and then she's playing the killer pass to Caruso, if you like. Caruso did well last night, but she was isolated for large spells. Now, the two girls who've come into the team as well, Sinead Farrelly and obviously Shiva, who played last night, offers lots of energy, and if you're proposing that kind of argument in terms of on the counter-attack, I think she has real running power and ability to get up the pitch and support Caruso. So that will be something that Vera will obviously look at as well. And I think Farrelly, to be fair to her, we probably didn't see it last night because we didn't have enough of the ball. She can maybe play a pass because she's technically very good.
She's been
good.
Brilliant since she's come in.
Very good.
US as well.
And maybe that's why you're playing Denise a little bit deeper, because you're trying to play Sinead further forward. So look, Vera did say after the match last night that that's probably going to be the starting team. I've no problem with that being the starting team, but I would just worry particularly about Heather. That's the one I worry about at right wing back. I just don't think she looks comfortable. And Harriet Scott didn't make the squad. She's a predominantly right full back. And Lucy Quinn, who's played right midfielder in games in the campaign, or she's come on, I think she has more defensive instincts in her game. I think Heather wants to go that way, and she's not too concerned. She's not too concerned. I don't think she wants to be. She gets concerned when she has to go the other way.
Jamie Finn as well, not in the squad.
Yeah, like they're and they played in the campaign as well, Shane. So she Vera, and it's tough to pick the squad, and I know she mentioned that, and there was a lot of maybe positions up for grabs, and I know it's hard to whittle it down, but she's gone with this squad. But that would be, you're asking me in terms of concerns going into the tournament, that'd be the area from the two games, not just last night, who you're playing good opposition. I don't think she looked comfortable against Zambia in that position either.
Okay, well, not long to wait to see how they get on. Less than 2 weeks until the World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. League of Ireland this evening. You're off to Dalymount Park. I'm off to the Belfield Bowl. Bowes Dundalk, UCD Shells, Drogheda are hosting Rovers, Sligo are away to Derry, and Pats entertain Cork City and Inchicore. So this week sees the four sides competing in European competition play their final league game for 3 weeks and a chance to leave others toiling. Rovers, Derry, Pats, Dundalk have played two more matches than the rest of the Premier Division, occupied the top four positions. Rovers have a 4-point advantage at the top, a reduced margin from a week ago after a surprise 2-0 loss in Oriel Park. Derry City have just one win in 7 matches, yet are still in touching distance if they can find form in the final third of the season. St. Pat's are flying in second place since John Daly became permanent manager, and the side chasing European spots have struggled in recent weeks. Bowes, 1 win in 9, Sligo, 2 wins in that period, and Shells have 3, albeit 2 of those coming in early April. And things are also tied at the promotion relegation playoff following Drogheda and Cork's draw last week, Sligo moving slightly clear. So a lot on the line. Let us start with Drogheda Rovers. Drogheda have already upset Rovers this year in Tallaght Stadium. Can Kevin Doherty's Drogheda United frustrate Shamrock Rovers once again? Or is
they seem to be the bogey team, Shane, don't they? They do have a very good record against Rovers, and we've mentioned numerous times on the show just about the job that Kevin is doing with limited resources as well, really good. If you look at the last kind of 7 games as well, it's 3 wins, 3 losses and a draw. So even though they're inconsistent, it's still better than what you maybe would expect with the resources that he's working off. And they went down to Cork last week and played Cork off the pitch. They should have came away with the 3 points, suffered a late equaliser, but I can't see them getting the result tonight. And I think Shamrock Rovers have to bounce back, obviously, from the defeat last week as well, Shane. So it's a big night for them. You mentioned Pat's run of form. It's incredible. The last 8 games, I think they've won 6, yep, lost 1 and drawn 1. So they're in red hot form, scored 7 goals against Pat's last week. So Rovers know that they're breathing down their neck, and they really are. So I think Shamrock Rovers have to get the victory tonight, and I think they will.
Drogheda haven't replaced Freddie Draper yet since he's left. O'Neill, Grace, Finn and Jack Byrne are possibly missing for Rovers. They look to go into the European journey in good form. Derry City, Sligo. Sligo have upset Derry already, but you'd imagine Derry will have too much for Sligo in the Ryan McBride Brandywell.
You would think so, Shane, but the last time Sligo played, we covered it up in the Brandywell, and they played really well. They should have won the game. They were probably one of their best performances. Obviously, since then, they've struggled for large periods of the season, Sligo Rovers, to the point where last week it was looking like if they didn't get the victory, John Russell might be in peril of his job, but they got the victory. So I think that might give them a bit of confidence and momentum going into this game. But I'd still expect Derry, because you look at it, Derry know they're in a position as well, Shane, and obviously they didn't get the victory last night when Rory Higgins was talking it up as a must win against Shelburne. But the fact that Shamrock Rovers draw points helped them, but they're still 6 points off Shamrock Rovers. And if they have any hope, and I give them no hope, but if they've any hope of overcoming Shamrock Rovers and getting themselves a title this season, they have to win tonight.
Okay, are you in agreement that Pats will beat Cork, just very briefly?
Yes.
Yes, and Shells will struggle in UCD.
No, Shane, come on.
Always struggling in UCD.
Shane, come on. You're not getting away with that one. They will win. Say they will win in UCD.
They might win. They need a win.
And if they don't, they should all be brought in on Saturday morning, on Sunday morning.
In 30 seconds or less then, Bowes looking to bounce back from a defeat against Sligo. They host Dundalk. Who's going to come out on top?
I think Dundalk will win, Shane. Bowes, I'd worry a little bit with their form. You mentioned 1 win in 9. Last week I watched them down in the showground against Sligo Rovers, and they were horrendous. Probably the worst I've seen them in a long, long time. So I think Dundalk, who themselves have won 4 of their last 5 in a good run, will win.
Okay, great stuff. Alan Colley, enjoy Dalymount Park. Thank you very much for your company this evening. Jane Mangan's up next on Racing. RTE 2FM. Game on 2FM. Now, Jane Mangan can set us up for a big weekend of racing. Game on.
Racing.
Hi Shane, yes, very much an international favourite to the racing this weekend. The Sandown Coral Eclipse has only attracted 4 declarations, but there are quality 4 in that. Remember, just 5 runners when So You Think managed to beat Workforce and Snow Fairy a couple of years ago. Well, Emily Upjohn and Paddington, along with Dubai Honor and West Wind Blows, looks like it's going to be a very tactical affair. Emily Upjohn, the mare, the older mare, with William Buick on board for the first time, replacing the suspended Frankie Dettori, against Paddington, the improving 3-year-old colt who won the Irish Guineas at the Curragh but was dominant in the St. James's Palace at Royal Ascot for Team Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. It is it looks like it's a duel between the pair of them. It will be fascinating to see how the race is run. Aidan O'Brien has won it 6 times with the likes of Hawkwing, So You Think, and St. Mark's Basilica. But John Gosden has a good record in the race as well, winning it 4 times with Enable, Golden Horn, Nathaniel and Roaring Lion. That's the card eclipse tomorrow. I said an international feel. Well, tomorrow evening from Belmont in New York, there is an Irish runner, an Irish interest in the Belmont Oaks as Fozzie Stacks sends over Aspen Grove, the Group 3 winning juvenile over here. She'll go to post in the Belmont Oaks at 9:45. She will be partnered by Usheen Murphy for the first time, and Usheen Murphy over there in the States to ride the Foxes in the Belmont Derby for Andrew Balding as well. Charlie Appleby also saddling Silver Knot in that Belmont Derby, but the Foxes appear to not stay the 12 furlongs in the Epsom Derby. This is 10. It should be really up his street. And if anybody's going to be delaying Usheen Murphy in transit, he may well be tight, because he's going to be riding at 10:50 in New York, and then 2:50 p.m. he'll be riding Caldeen in the Prix Jean Prat in Deauville, France. He's in against High Royal and Aidan O'Brien saddles Meditate. But if Caldeen is anything like what we saw in the Guineas, his form will be put to the test by Paddington the day before. It'll be a fascinating renewal of the Prix Jean Prat. Irish interest all over the world. And that's before I mentioned that Bellystown and Naas are the domestic action on the Irish front tomorrow, and Sligo on Sunday.